기아뜨라땅도땅도기아뜨라갤링기랑가땅도루이스부타지켈레레구름샤바웨
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Quest Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. Music is like poetry and has a message, and history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. Words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definition. News can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back our curtain and musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora, and you will find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrations. So I thank you again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Student host Walter Pierce travels back into history with his diamond of choice on the preeminent sports figure Lee Elder. And for his next segment of definitions, he will define the word diaspora and give his own viewpoint on its meaning. The musical segment of Curtains will feature Stephen Hardaway Morris. Well, you can just guess who that is. The program will also include comments from the elders during and after each segment. And without any further ado, our student host. Good morning, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, and good morning to everybody else out there, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Now, to start off the show today, I want to start off with the diamond. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, for today, I will be starting my diamond on the Elder. And see, Lee Elder was born in 1934, and he's from Dallas, Texas. And as a young man, he taught himself to play golf by sneaking into all white courses at night. He never actually played a round until he was 16. By his late teens, he was a golf hustler, often posing as a caddy. He led that uneasy existence until 1959, when he was drafted into the Army. There, Elder spent part of his military time playing golf with his commanding officer at Fort Lewis in Washington State. After being discharged in 1961, he joined the All Black United Golf Association Tour. He dominated the tour, winning 5 UGA National Championships. In one stretch, Elder won 21 of 23 tournaments. In November of 1967, Elder became one of the first Black golfers on the PGA Tour. The following year, he raised eyebrows by tying Frank Beard and Jack Nicklaus for the lead in the American Golf Classic. Beard was out after bogeying the first hole, but Elder and Nicklaus dueled for the next 4 holes. Nicklaus finally won with a birdie on the 5th after Elder missed a long birdie putt. Elder was invited by Gary Player to take part in the 1971 South African PGA Tournament, the first integrated tournament in that country's history. He accepted after insisting on some conditions, that the gallery would be integrated and that he and his wife would be allowed to stay at whatever hotel they choose and free to go wherever they wanted to go. His first PGA victory came in Monsanto Open in 1974, automatically winning him an invitation to the 1975 Masters. Elder was the first Black player to be invited to the Masters tournament. Elder also won the Houston Open, and he played in the 1977 Masters. In 1979, Elder became the first Black golfer to play for the Ryder Cup team. Elder and his wife set up the Lee Elder Scholarship Fund in 1974. This fund was developed to offer monetary aid to low-income young men and women seeking money for college. In 1986, he protested to the PGA governors for allowing 4 American golfers to play in a tournament in Sun City, a small area set up by the apartheid regime of South Africa that surrounded it. In 1990, Elder spoke out against the country clubs that still excluded Blacks from membership. Elder was actively promoted summer youth golf development programs and raised money for the Negro College Fund and served on the advisory boards of Goodwill Industries. And there we go. That concludes my segment on Lee Elder. And as you can see here, he was somebody who was actively involved in making sure that African Americans were able to participate in the sport of golf. You know, as we've seen earlier, you know, he protested to the PGA, and he made sure that he was able to go out and play in tournaments and not be excluded from anything, and also crowds to be more insulated and to stop the the country clubs for excluding membership to black golfers. And you have to think about it. That was in 1990. You know, the sport of golf was still excluding people, black people, from applying to country clubs. And, you know, he was still out there making sure that we had people like me who play the sport now are able to, you know, go out and enjoy the sport without discrimination. So, again, I thank you for listening to my segment on The Elder, and you are tuned in to 89.5 WSOU.
To Japan, if we can make them jam, we can make 100 grand, spend it in the south of France, nothing further. I jump, grab my Goyard trunk, get ready to walk it out like Unk in my John Lennon chucks. That's when I heard murder, you're killing me and filling me with sorrow. Sunrise, goodbyes, and missing you tomorrow. I turn to see my dream love, supreme queen, ain't a thing gonna sing, cry. I drop my bags in the flash, that's faster than 180 on that dash, sir, to dry your tears. And wipe the rain from my dear like Dash shirt. Use the dame who's the username to all my passwords. The reason I get fly is Ivan Jasper. I even keep your picture in my passport. Love, love. Real, all in together, free chill. Tell a steward it's the dope movie on the real. Heat up my kosher meal, exchange my dollar bills, lean back in my first class seat and sleep. Don't wake me till I land where they barely understand what I speak, but they nod to my beats. I tell my fans who I am and they stand and they clap, they applaud. They love me, my God. Oscari Samadeshda, or maybe au revoir. A spree on St. Henri, then back to Charles de Gaulle. So I can get home and tell her everywhere that I've been and everything that I've done and tell her that she's the one and
Let's go to sleep, Paris. Wake up.
Guess who's back in the house with a bunch of souvenirs and a smile for your mouth. I really missed you each and every night. I kissed you in my dreams before I went to sleep. The La La Land to count them sheep. I swear you're looking prettier than ever. It's got to be a prophecy for us to stay together evermore. For better or less, the poor or worth a waiting. Buried treasure, exes on the shore. I know my world tour's like war to ya, but Ian said aloha, and Hardy said cheers, Julian said bonjour, Big O was like yeah, Amanda and Lemessi wanted to win, we going there, Edison sends his love, so does the rest of the club of the international playboys and playgirls, but I revoked my membership, all for my tenderness, she said pursue your interests, cause even if I'm ticketless, I'll be there, by your side, in your heart, on your mind. So as I taxi down another runway, I got you. Who loves you, babe? Now bring you back now.
Let's go to see Paris. Wake up.
And we're back. I'd like to bring our student host back on so that he can continue with the next segment. Good morning,
yes.
Once again, Walter.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Bay. And we're currently about 15 minutes into the show, and it's time for definitions. And this segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for today is diaspora. And a diaspora is a scattered population whose origin lies in a separate geographic locate. And what that means is, of course, for example, us as people who consider ourselves African Americans, our origin is from Africa, and we were taken from Africa and brought into America and other different parts of the world. So that is an example of a diaspora. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because there's still things because of that that affects us even now. And one of the biggest things is us understanding our history or knowing our history, because since we've came into America and it is still really a lot of the rules and things that go on in America is run by people who are white. That doesn't give people who are from Africa the opportunity to really learn about our history, but their history in this country and, you know, in Europe as well. Talking about our classes in school, history class, where we're constantly every year learning about, you know, European history and early American history about white people. But we don't really hear about or talk. Problem with that is people start to accept not knowing it, and that is a problem, because now you're in this mindset that the history that occurred, you know, in America and Europe is just your history. And that's really not. There's a lot of African American, you know, writers, inter-African-American writers, you know, who talk a lot about the history of Africa, talk about places and things in Africa, traditions and all of that. So it's very important to, you know, to try to read up on that and understand it. And, you know, not knowing your history is that, you know, the slang, if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it. And you're doomed to repeat. And if you don't understand things that happened years ago and mistakes and things that shouldn't happen, you know, you're tend to repeat those type of mistakes. And, you know, that is just the problem of not even all the diaspora and the problem with not knowing your own history, which I believe people should really read up and try to at least learn something about it, because it is something that is very important to our society and us as black people. And, you know, Mr. Bay, what I was thinking is, you know, also I believe that every or an idea for people to also, African people to start to learn about their history is to, you know, take a trip to Africa probably once in your lifetime and actually go back to your country, your origin, and see what it's like out there. Because a huge problem is that we paint Africa out to be a place that is just, you know, just land, vast land. It's very poor and things like that. But we don't really see the true landscape of Africa. And there's a lot of beautiful places there that people could go and visit. And people just don't think that. So that's why I believe, you know, a person who is black, who comes from Africa, you know, once in a lifetime, just go ahead and take a trip to Africa to see for yourself. Because America and you know, the teaching in America is always going to teach us about the bad and the poor about Africa, but not about the good things. So in conclusion, that's really what I have on, you know, the word diaspora and how that's affected people of today, mindsets on Africa. And, you know, I want to pass it on to everybody else who's in here. I don't know exactly who, but, you know, I want to just, you know, put out the question of do you think that African-Americans should really take the time out of the day to learn about their own history, even though it's past? What do you think about that?
Well, you mentioned the word problem. And in math, equations are represented or referred to as problems. And that being said, I think the next person knows what I'm talking about. Can you solve the equation or what is been termed as problem, Mr. Harris? As it pertains to diaspora.
Yeah. Because they, and like you said, with an equation, there's always an unknown, and that unknown is part of the what you're trying to find out. And it's the same thing with the word diaspora. Now, most of the time, diaspora is a voluntary thing that a people just move around to different places. It's usually voluntarily, but in our particular case, the original diaspora came from Africa when we spread across the whole planet. The whole planet was a diaspora for African people. And we seem to always limit ourselves to what happened to us in these last 400 years as far as European slavery and colonization had to do with us. And yes, it is important to understand history, but not just to see how great you used to be, but you study history to find out where we made mistakes that put us in the condition that we are today, and hopefully not try to make those mistakes in the future. You know, so we are everywhere. So if you're looking at diaspora, you can go anywhere on the planet and you'll find African culture being preempted and being imitated and then flipped around and then sent back to us as other people's culture, but actually they're all following the masters.
We'll have Tanisha chime in and give us your perspective, diaspora, and what it means to you. Good morning.
Good morning. When I think of, I guess like Mr. Shelton said, diaspora is everything. Is land, is resources, is culture, is history. It's so much to it. I guess to define who we are, like you said, we have to know the past and know where we're going in the future and redefine it, because it's never ending. So that's what we also have to remember, that we can create our own destiny and how and what we see and how we want things to be. And remember that we do have power to create change and keep a positive thought and momentum going.
Okay. And I will add the icing to the cake by simply saying that when you eliminate identity of a people, you have now created a situation where people are unable to grasp their diaspora or their history or their background of who they are and where they come from. And so it has been said that slavery did a real too good of a job by eliminating the identity of a people so that they no longer see themselves in unity, but see themselves in separation. You know, I'm Haitian. I'm this. I'm that. Everything but African. All right. So that's why Mr. Harris and I, you know, I read an article. I'm just going to say it like this. I read an article of a brother who had traveled to the Middle East, and he had met a gentleman, his cab driver, right? And he said, hey, my brother, you black like me. And the Arab said, no, I'm not black. And so the passenger said, well, you know, we are in Egypt, in the Middle East area. This is part of Africa. And Mr. Harris and I were talking, but the gist of that particular cab ride in that conversation was, even though they were in Africa, the Arab did not feel that he was African. So it doesn't matter where you are. It has everything to do with what you see and identify with within yourself. So although I'm not in Africa, Africa is in me. I am part of the diaspora. As we continue, you're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. And I think Marvin Gaye can kind of sort this out a little bit. Well, maybe provide more confusion. I don't know. What's going on? Thank you. right. And now it's time for our next segment, and I'm going to just call it our quest moment. It's been a year. It's been a year of crisis in our country and throughout the world. And one of the things, as I reflect back to last year, and before I read this inspirational story to you, I just want to remind everybody to keep their heads up, and things will get better. The title of this inspirational story is titled The Obstacle in Our Path. And it always takes someone to kind of look ahead and look, you know, and see the glass as being half full instead of half empty for us to prevail and continue on, not just in our lives, but as a people united. We can never be divided. But that being said, it's time for the quest moment. You see, a cornucopia of physics dictates that where there are vibrations, there must be a medium. And all vibrations possess a wave nature. In our community, our art is, in fact, and in spirit, the medium through which our waves travel. Where there is no medium, there are no vibrations. The obstacles in our path is a story about opportunity. You see, in ancient times, a king had a boulder placed on a roadway. He then hid himself and watched to see if anyone would move the boulder out of the way. Now, some of the king's wealthiest merchants and couriers came by and simply walked around it. Many people loudly blamed the king for not keeping the roads clear. Sound familiar? But none of them did anything about getting the stone out of the way. Now, that sounds familiar to me. A peasant then came along carrying a load of vegetables. Upon approaching the boulder, the peasant laid down his burden and tried to push the stone out of the road. After pushing and straining, he finally succeeded. After the peasant went back to pick up his vegetables, he noticed a purse lying in the road where the boulder had contained many gold coins and a note from the king, explaining that the gold was for the person who removed the boulder from the roadway. And that ends the story. But what is the moral, you ask? Every obstacle that we come across in life gives us an opportunity to improve our circumstances. And whilst the lazy complain, the others are creating opportunities through their kind hearts and generosity and willingness to get things done. And so as I reflect back a year ago, be the person who has an opportunity in your heart to show generosity, willingness, and be willing to get things done. And by all means, manufacture patience. So I want to get Tanisha. What do you think about today's story, inspirational story there? Any feedback, comment?
That is very powerful. And we need to echo that throughout, because it's about determination and not giving up and be able to figure things out, critical thinking. And that's what people need to do more often. Instead of, like you said, complaining, find a solution to every problem has a solution, and we have the power to create the change. And that's what we have to remember, that we have the power to make our own destiny.
Okay. Mr. Harris, what did you think about today's story of inspiration?
Yeah, I kind of piggyback on what Sister Tanisha just said, because a lot of times people are always looking for somebody else to fix their problems for them. And that leads them into being very complacent. They become judgmental. They point fingers. They do things like that. And then there's always going to be somebody that's going to be like, wow, I kind of noticed that everybody's having a problem with this, so let me do something myself. They had the self-determination to just say, well, let me do this. And a lot of times when people do that, you get rewarded in one way or another. You know, and this story really kind of encapsulated that whole idea that, you know, you have to do something to get something. You know, people, you're not going to get something for nothing.
Okay. Walter, it's on you. What did you think about today's story?
Basically, what I want to say is, you know, go out there. You're going to make mistakes. But the thing about it is you got to keep pushing through because everybody does make mistakes. And you just got to know that you could easily, if you just learn how to bounce back from that, you will be a more successful person.
Think of a world without mistakes, Walter. You would have nothing to learn from. Life would be boring. And just think, when you get older, like you are, and I'm not, you wouldn't have anything to laugh at or joke about. Anyway, the title of this song is
Young, Gifted, and Black. To be young, gifted, and black. Young, gifted, and black. To be young, gifted, and black.
To be young, gifted, and black and own it. It's more than a moment. It's like the sun rose to condone it. Before we was trapped in, we was trapped in. Sun and the whips kissing our black skin. Strange fruit hanging, smell the jasmine. Ride the Coltrane, listen to jazz then. Back then, we came with names like James, Fatima, Nina, King, Dreamer, Redeemer of the people. Songs for the Hebrew, original, spiritual content. Smell it when it's gossip. We keep it moving every day, we the target. The young, gifted, and black on the market. Cause of that we pay with our lives. Or either catching charges, but yo, the goddess is a goddess. Young, gifted, and black. Goddamn Ferguson, goddamn Staten Island, goddamn Baltimore, goddamn America, damn. I tell you who I am, but you don't understand. Cross the waters I swam, son and daughters of the land. Yeah, we the black sheep, but you slaughtering the lamb. You try to silence with your sirens. Sounds of violence do nothing but divide us. Evolution of revolution, retribution is due us. The old ways of the U.S., it ain't the new us. Tell them we the stars, they can't shoot us. From prisons to wars, you can no longer recruit us. Salvation is due us even before we change. God knew us. God knew us. Yeah, God knew us.
WSOU HD from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. We are Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. And now I'd like to bring on, back on, our student host, Walter Pierce. Take it away.
Yes, and welcome back, everybody, to this show. And you are tuned in to 89.5 WSOU. And for today's curtain, I will be doing the one and only Stevie Wonder. And, you know, Stevie Wonder has had a unique career as a singer, composer, instrumentalist, performer, and humanitarian. After his years with Motown, who signed him up as Little Stevie Wonder at age 11, he gradually released a striking array of innovative music that will influence the world's contemporary music as we know it today. Born in 1950, 2 months premature, Stevie was placed in the incubator for life support. However, an excess of oxygen resulted in the scarring and detachment of his retina, leading to a condition known that made him blind. And in 1963, at age 13, he has had his first U.S. number one hit single and album with his first live recording to ever top the chart. He was still the youngest person to have ever reached those number one spots. During the 60s, under the control of Motown's formula, Stevie evolved from the status of child prodigy to music superstardom. With a string of hits that progressively involved more and more of his songwriting, musicianship, and production skills, he entered 1970 on a solid foundation to create some of the most enduring music of the 21st century. I mean, of the century. And at age 21, Stevie broke away from Motown's hit machine and demanded full artistic control for creating and producing his own music. This resulted in an impressive array of albums that are still considered groundbreaking achievements. With this newfound freedom in the early 1970s, Stevie pioneered with the use of synthesizers, incorporating electric sounds seamlessly with acoustic sounds. This venture hugely influenced the face of popular music and the development of electronic musical genres. 1973, he was the first black person to win a Grammy for Best Album of the Year, a feat that was repeated for three consecutive albums. He has since gone on to win 24 Grammys and been awarded the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 1996. He has also picked up an Academy and Golden Globe Awards for his soundtracks to movies. The longevity of his music is evident with so many facets of our life, where his melodies and lyrics are frequently sampled and covered on records and movies, and has gained him respect of his peers in the entertainment industry. However, behind the music scene, he is committed to many humanitarian activities, such as Dr. King Jr.'s national holiday, fight against apartheid in South Africa, and fundraising for AIDS research, numerous children and cancer charities, and always available for the disaster relief fundraising. Stevie has also held his House Full of Toys annual charity concert since 1995 to raise funds for underprivileged children during the festive Christmas season. He recently played a pivotal role in the election of Barack Obama to the presidency of the United States, performing and speaking at many rallies and offering his songs. Signed, Sealed, and Delivered as a theme of his campaign. In 2009, Stevie was awarded the Gershwin Prize for Popular Music by the U.S. Library of Congress, again the youngest person to achieve this award, which was presented to him at the White House by President Obama. In addition, Stevie was commissioned by the library to write a classical piece, an honor not normally bestowed on popular music artists. Currently a United Nations Messenger of Peace, Stevie has been able to win the rights to publish copyrighted works into formats accessible for the visually impaired throughout the world. Stevie Wonder is without question one of the great personalities in music history. His powerful, expressive vocal presence coupled with his musical elegance, forms part of the broad personal spectrum of irresistible music, compelling emotion, which is his personal hallmark. And that concludes my segment on Stevie Wonder. And, you know, Stevie Wonder is just world known. You know, it is amazing what he is able to do with being visually impaired at the same time. But now to get to the most important part of the current segment, which is the music. So we're going to have Mr. Bay play a couple Stevie Wonder songs for us, and we'll be back right after that on 89.5.
But the second shot, right?
Okay. All right,
yeah.
Everybody. We're here.
Did you get second shot?
We're back. Somebody's talking in the background. How
I
you doing?
Hear.
Okay, so...
No, I
yeah.
forgot it.
Yeah, so that was Calvin. Calvin, I'm coming straight to you, right? And I know that you are a golfer yourself, right? So you sound like you're on the road. What did you think about today's show?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. I was talking to you until I cut you off. Right, wait a minute. I'm coming right back.
So,
all right. Calvin, good morning. I know
good
that
morning.
You,
how are you?
Good. I know you're a golfer. And when we talk about the shoulders that we stand on, you know, there is no Tiger Woods without an Lee Elder. Could you speak
correct.
To that and then tell us what you thought about today's show?
Outstanding. Great subject. Lee Elder is one of the all-time greats. And you're right. We stand on the shoulder of Lee Elder, though that Tiger Woods sort of expanded on that. But we do stand on the shoulder of Lee Elder. You guys did a great job. Keep up the great work, guys.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, so we lost Val. But Tanisha, what did you think about today's show?
Today was an excellent show. It was a lot of great information.
Okay. Thank you very much for being part of the program. Not just this week, but every week. Mr. Harris, overall, what did you think about today's broadcast?
As every week, I think it's very informative. And, you know, and it's good to get this kind of information out. And, Walter's doing an excellent job with doing just that. You know, I thought it was an excellent show.
Okay. Walter, before you sign off, I'd like for you to tell the audience why you did what you did today and what did you think about the overall content of our broadcast today?
Yeah, well, first, I did what I did because, you know, I wanted to bring another aspect to the show and something that means something that is very close to me, which is somebody who is Lee Elder. You know, the sport that I play, he plays as well. And without him, I would not be able to just, I guess, go out and enjoy the sport like I do today. So he is very important to me. And also when, you know, talking about diaspora, it is very important to see the effects of that and why that still affects the minds of African-Americans today. And, of course, you know, the great Stevie Wonder, and, you know, everybody, you know, loves Stevie Wonder, loves his music, and he's always bringing, you know, good, positive energy to this stage and off the stage as well. And basically the content of the show was just amazing, and I'm happy that everybody was on here to enjoy it.
And finally, sign out.
Yes, I want to thank everybody for listening to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of CN Hall in South Orange. This is student host Walter Pierce with Mr. Richard Bombay, Mr. Shalyn Harris on the line, and Miss Tanisha Gardner as well, and also our fans and listeners out there. Thank y'all for tuning in. But we're signing out. And our motto is Quest Youth Radio is the best
youth radio. Yep.
Sula, time shy my way.